This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect with your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're starting a new series today called Lord of All. It's just a five-part series, but I really believe that you're going to learn some things as we journey through this message. And it's based on Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 48. This is a revelation that all of us need to get. Now, Acts chapter 10 is a very key chapter because it records the salvation of Cornelius, who was the first Gentile convert, and the process that God used to reveal the gospel, not only to the Gentiles, but also to show Peter and all of the Jewish people that we also were included in Christ's salvation. So Cornelius was at his home. He was praying. He was a God-fearing man. He was fasting and praying and just seeking the face of God. And amazingly, in a vision, he sees an angel of God calling his name. Isn't that wonderful to know that God knows our name? And the angel said in verse 4, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And so, isn't it encouraging to know that God knew Cornelius's name? God knew where Peter was, and God knows where you are. You know, the thing I find fascinating is this angel could walk through the walls bringing a message from God, and yet could not preach the gospel. And this is the privilege as believers that we have been given, is that we can share the timeless message of the gospel with other people, because the angel said, send for Peter and he will tell you what you must do. And so God gives Peter a vision to show that God was also including the Gentiles. You know, what God has made clean, you must not call unclean, to prepare Peter to go to Cornelius's house, because, you know, as a Jew, it was not something that he would have done. And so, you know, it really is just a wonderful story of God's grace and, you know, God taking people outside their comfort zones, because certainly it was outside Peter's comfort zone to be among these Gentiles. So Peter comes to Cornelius's house. Cornelius was waiting and had called together his relatives and close friends. So, you know, Cornelius had a heart for his family. He wasn't just looking to save his own soul, so to speak. He wanted to see his family saved, his relatives, his friends. He'd called them all together to hear what Peter had to say. You know, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, verse 25, and worshipped him. And Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." So anyway, verse 30, Cornelius said, "Four days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have been remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' Now therefore we're present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." And so reading from verse 34 is where I wanted to get to. That was just really trying to give you some context. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" Suddenly Peter is getting this revelation. Wow, God wants the Gentiles to know him as well. "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And I place particular emphasis on that verse. "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And as Peter preaches this very, very simple, short message. These people respond, they believe, and they're saved. And while Peter is still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out in the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. And so Peter declared in verse 36, "He is Lord of all." And so the title of this short little series is Lord of All. So what does this mean? And what are the implications of this short but profound statement? For this was essentially the first sermon to what were the very first Gentile converts. And so we can therefore place great importance upon what was said. What did the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Peter actually mean when he declared, "He is Lord of all"? And exactly what does this require of us, if anything? What does it mean for us today in this selfish, narcissistic, self-obsessed generation that demands rights yet rejects responsibilities? Can we really say that He is Lord of all? Lord of some, certainly, or Lord of a lot, yes, of course. But Lord of all? Lord of our relationships, as we run with a crowd that lives like there is no God? Lord of our time, as we waste literally hours and hours on mindless entertainment on Netflix or in social media? Lord of our gifts, as we use them for the world but refuse to do anything for the Lord? Because for us to say that Jesus Christ is Lord and yet not live or give like He is Lord is certainly illogical and hypocritical. Yet many in our nation today, and sadly, many even within the Church of Christ, do not live like He is Lord. If He truly is Lord of all, as the Bible tells us, then there are some very real life implications for every one of us that are listening to this message today. Luke 6 and verse 46 in the NIV. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" In the ESV. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" It's clear that Christ places an expectation of obedience upon this confession of lordship. For if He truly is Lord, then we must live like it. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Because sometimes we're singing songs but completely oblivious to the implications of what we're singing. You know, we sing songs like, "My life is not my own, to you I belong, I give myself to you." It's easy to sing, "My life's not my own," but do we live like it? Romans 14, 8 and 9 says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living." So here we have this very, very powerful statement that if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Can we say that with conviction, that my life is for God, that He is Lord of all? Revelation 19 and 16, "On His robe and on His tie He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came as the Lamb, but He is returning as the Lord." You see, there is none above Him and there is none beside Him. So I want to ask you today as I finish, if we have truly given Him the glory, the honor, the reverence, the service, and the absolute obedience that belongs to Him alone as Lord, is Jesus Christ Lord of all? Today as I finish, I'd like to pray for every person listening. Lord, I just pray that You would stir their hearts to seek Your face, to surrender to You, and to give You the place that belongs to You, Lord, the place that belongs to You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray that You would have Your way in our lives, that You would be glorified in Jesus' wonderful name in every aspect of who we are and how we live. May we truly live like You are Lord of all. In Jesus' name I pray. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland as we continue our series on Lord of All. Shalom.